You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. And as we delve into this week's topic, a reminder that some of the content may be of a sensitive nature. Now, here's your host, Des Kennedy.
Well, hey, welcome to another edition of Momentum. And this week, we're doing something a little bit different, as we do every week, in fact. But just before we get into today's show, I just want to remind you guys of our website, momentumaustralia.org, all our previous podcasts, lots of information and YouTube videos on there to help you on your journey. And guys, also don't forget the care line, Momentum Care Line, 1-800-000-636. That's 1-800-000-MEN. For a safe and confidential conversation, please reach out to our care line. And also don't forget, we are on TikTok, we're on YouTube, and now we are on Instagram. And so you can search for us on all those platforms, which is amazing the way we can speak into men's lives. So today, we have our friend and brother Jerry Hudson with us.
Brother Jerry.
Yeah. Jerry has been working on this message for men. And so I'm now going to hand over the microphone to Jerry.
Well, hello, and thank you, Des, for that lovely introduction, Brother Jerry. We're going to share some Bible insights today. It's been a Momentum show. It's directed at men, but ladies, it's meant to encourage you as well. And today's topic, if we were to give it a name, is Jesus and women. Okay, so I don't know how many people have ever heard anybody talk about Jesus and women, you know, congruently together. And I just thought that's got to be an interesting subject because Jesus did a lot. And hung around a lot and was seen a lot with men and women. And sometimes maybe we think too much about, you know, the 12 disciples and the men factor. And Jesus was very, very poignant in making sure that he also spoke with them, encouraged them, and showed them the kingdom of God. So, as I'd like to say, is we always need to start from a place of victory, okay? Let's not start behind the eight ball. Let's come out from behind that and start the place of victory because we have the victory in Christ. So, I want to share with you in the opening that in the times before and during the times of Jesus, women's status and freedoms were severely limited by the Jewish law and their customs, which were in ancient Israel, as they were all essentially other cultures at the time. So there were many different myriads of people before Jesus and in the times of Jesus, you know, the Romans for one, obviously, and the religious people of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, etc., the legalism, the religiosity. In general terms, number one is that mostly women were restricted to roles of little or no authority. Okay, so they could carry water here and carry water there and make the bed, but they had little or no authority. It was all about domestic stuff. Now, domestic stuff's extremely important. It really, really is. So the ladies that do it, it's not a punishment. It's actually an essential thing, isn't it, in all of our lives? They were mostly confined to the home in those places and in those times. They were, well, my father used to say, seen and not heard.
Yes.
No, that's not right, is it? Yes, seen and not heard. So in the home, they were seen, but they weren't heard. And then number three, they were under the authority mostly of men, and that would be either their father or their husband. It could be an older brother, etc., but they were under the authority of men. And so can you imagine just in those three little points there, the constraints that women had from the time that they were born until the time, I suppose, that they actually passed away, because being given in marriage didn't seem to be much of a go either. It went from out of the frying pan perhaps into the fire. Now, I've made point number four, they were not permitted to testify in court cases or trials and things like that because they weren't deemed smart enough. The chances are they couldn't read. Well, the men thought that they couldn't read, okay? So they weren't allowed in court cases, to say yes or no. Outside the home, they had to be veiled, okay? So because men didn't want other men looking at their women, so they controlled them and dominated them by veiling them, that they could only basically see out with their eyes. They had become second-class Jews. Now, just a little bit of an interlude here. That was never, ever the plan from Genesis. It evolved in that from the downfall that we see in Genesis, and evil men kept carrying on and on and on and on and on and on. All right. And then in point number seven, they were also excluded from worship and teaching. Okay, so they couldn't worship God, and they weren't allowed to teach the Word of God, and they weren't allowed to read the Word of God. And my mother had that issue when she was growing up as a young girl and a young woman in Dublin. The priest said to her and many others in Latin and in Gaelic, "You can't read this, you're not clever enough." So my mother actually told me some stories about priests doing that. Point number eight, the Hebrew women were not permitted to divorce their husbands, but could be divorced by their husband for anything. That would be from burning a piece of bread to adultery. Now, all of these things were judged by men. It wasn't judged by the Word of God. It wasn't judged by what it says in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, you know, the first five books of the Bible, the law, et cetera, stuff like that. They went random. They went AWOL, and the women paid for it. They did. And so we see that Jesus overthrew many centuries of Jewish tradition, and he overthrew many centuries of Jewish tradition, and Jesus consistently treated women and men as equals.
And how good is that?
Well, it's still today.
Yeah.
It's still today, yeah. And I've learned a lot of this myself along the way as a man, as a husband, and as a father, it's not meant to be like it was in my dad's day in the house that I lived in. Maybe you other people out there listening, maybe you had a great dad and he taught you all these things.
Mm.
Well, I didn't get that. So Jesus refused to follow behavioral rules that were established by the religious leaders of the day. And Jesus ignored many Jewish traditions which specified gender inequality. He didn't want to play the religious game, and because he'd come to preach the kingdom, he'd come to share what the kingdom was, and the kingdom was a kingdom of equality with men and women seen as equals. So I'm going to share a couple of scriptures with us in this brief period of time to show us Jesus' approach and insight that he had to women. And, you know, fellas, this is about us learning to see women in the same light that Jesus saw women. And this is what this is about. And for the ladies that are listening out there, this is Jesus talking to you today to remind you, or to tell you maybe for the first time, how wonderful you are, how valuable you are, how precious you are, and how much he loves you. And husbands and fathers, we should be reflecting that to the women in our life and to the women, I guess, that are just on the planet overall. Didn't say it would be easy, but if it was easy, everybody would do it. So the first scripture I'd like to just briefly have a look at is Mark 5, 25 to 34. We're not going to go through the whole thing because it's a bit long. But Jesus, this is the story of the woman with the issue of blood, okay? And my little title here for this is that Jesus did not fear the presence of the impure. Okay, there was things like bring out the dead, can't touch this, can't touch that. And I would encourage everybody, go back to Leviticus 19, start from verse 1 and go all the way through. When we read Leviticus 19, it's one of the laws of purification. And most of us have homed in on the issue of the flow of blood from the woman that made her impure. and she couldn't be touched, and she couldn't be this, and she couldn't be that. She couldn't be around men. She had that. There was so much, and that's in Leviticus 19, about 17 onwards, I think it is. And it tells us by the law how this woman was supposed to act. She wasn't able to act like that because the traditions of the day ostracized her, which is what we've just gone through. But if you look at Leviticus 19 verses 1 through, I think it's up to about 10 or 12, it talks about the impurities and the fluxes of men. I don't know whether anybody actually realized it. It talks about spilt semen. It talks about gangrene. It talks about all sorts of other fluxes or fluids that come out of men. But I've never heard anybody talk about that. But I hear people talk about the woman's one all the time. And it's unbalanced. So men, we're not under that law either, by the way, in Leviticus 19, as much as that lady was under that law until Jesus pardoned and did what he did upon the cross of Calvary. But let's quickly look at Matthew 5, 25. So you know the story of the issue of blood. The woman has been unwell for many years, and she's been to many doctors, and she's had no relief, no nothing, and it says in the scripture that she actually grew worse. Is that right? Says they actually grew worse. And she said to herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment. And she said, because she'd heard about Jesus, had she said within herself, she said, if only I could touch the hem of his garment. And so she did. She touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus turned around and said, because there was a great crowd, Jesus said, who touched me? So Jesus is very spiritual. The disciples were very calm. He said, hey, have a look around. There's so many people here. What do you mean, who touched you? Because he says that he felt power going out from him. And then this is also found in Luke and Mark as well, Luke and Matthew as well, by the way. And the woman said to him, I did, and she says that in Luke, I touched you. And he said, woman, he talked to her. He never touched her, because if he touched her, he would have been unclean. So he never touched her. She touched the hem of his garment, so he was okay. See, he didn't break any law, because if he'd broken the law, he wasn't the Messiah as well, right? And he said to her, woman, your faith has made you whole. There's a few little things here. First of all, he spoke to her. She touched him. He said to her, your faith has made you whole. And then he said, go your way. So what I want to point out here is that in those days, a woman would have been regarded as, you can't have faith, you're a woman. But Jesus said, woman, your faith has made you whole. So I just wanted to point that out, that we need to look at women as equals, because they have been given the same measure of faith. And the Bible says that we've all been given the same measure of faith. So I don't know how that woman heard about Jesus. I don't know. I've got no idea. It doesn't actually say. But we've heard about Jesus, haven't we? So what she did with her faith is she stretched it out, and she planted her faith by doing what she said she was going to do, touch the hem of his garment. Now, there it is there in red that she was healed. And that's the woman with the issue of blood, who everybody else saw as untouchable and impure. So that's one. And we're going to go for a short break, I think, now.
Indeed we are. We'll be back shortly.
All right.
You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. Find out more at MomentumAustralia.org.
Momentum Australia is proudly brought to you by station sponsor Bible League. Bible League is a global, not-for-profit organization providing Bibles, biblical resources, and training to the under-resourced church in 70-plus countries worldwide, as well as working right here in Australia, particularly in Aussie prisons.
Bible League is supported by a wide range of churches and individuals. Your support will continue to spread God's word, transform lives, and help introduce people to Jesus.
Partner with Bible League right now by calling 1-800-800-937 or going online to their website, bibleleague.org.au.
Now, here's your host, Des Kennedy.
We're back with Momentum, and we have Jerry, and he's talking about Jesus and women. So, Jerry, over to you.
Okay. So, our second scripture that we're going to look, and I hope that you do gain something out of that and cause you to have a look and study for yourself. But do you remember the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery? No, not the act of adultery. Mary and Martha, Jesus went to their house and he had a conversation with them. And Mary and Martha, of course, were both women, and they were in the home and they were doing things around the home. But one of them did something and one of them did the other thing. So we're going to read from Luke 10, and we're going to look at verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many, many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Because what happened, as you may or may not know, is that Mary sat down at the feet of Jesus, and it says in verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was encumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And that was when Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you know, you're just going to and fro and you're working. Your sister has done the right thing. So what Mary has done here is something that women weren't supposed to do. She has sat at the feet of Jesus and Jesus has taught her the word of God. And Martha has gone about doing the normal, traditional, religious outworkings that a woman was expected to do in those days, all right? So women can be and should be sitting at the feet or studying the Word of God and being able to live out the actions of the Word of God and not have it held against her because she's a woman, all right? Because she's a woman. Jesus said to Mary, this is the better thing for you to do is to sit down at my feet because I can teach you about the kingdom of God. Now, he didn't say that in the verses. We can see that. But he was teaching her about the kingdom because that's what he came to do. He came to teach about the kingdom. He didn't come to teach about lots and lots of other things that we think that he may come. Done to do. But when he taught about the kingdom of God to Mary, he was actually showing her how the kingdom works in the earth and how the kingdom can work for her, even though she's a woman. And it didn't matter to God, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, that this was a woman. And so Martha, any Marthas out there, sit down at the feet of Jesus and learn and find out who God says you are as a woman. And gentlemen, you know, when we read things like this, we need to sit down with God and ask him, how do I be a better man? How do I be a better husband? How do I be a better father to the women in my life? That's something that I do quite often because I want to be a better man, a better God man, etc. So that's Mary and Martha. And then we'll have a quick look at John chapter 8, verse 1. And this is the woman caught in the act of adultery. And maybe you've heard about this story about the woman caught in the act of adultery and how she was brought to Jesus and they were trying to trap Jesus. You know, the people of the day were again trying to trap him. So we'll have a quick read from verse 3. And the scribes and the Pharisees, because he was there teaching them, the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her before him, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in the very act of adultery. And it goes on and says, now Moses is, so what I want to say here without going into all those things is that these men brought this woman who's caught in the very act of adultery. Where's the man? See, different set of rules, isn't it? And it's been like that for a long, long time. The woman's caught in the act of adultery. So it means that they're both married and they're having intercourse with one another. Whether that was permissible for the woman or if she was just taken advantage of, it doesn't say. But they're trying to trap Jesus by bringing this woman and saying she was caught in the very act of adultery. Where's the man? And it goes on and it says, in verse 7, it says, so when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and he said unto them, he that is without sin, that you cast the first stone. You see, now I think that's a very, very prominent thing for me to remember for my life is that I live in a glass house, so don't throw stones at other people, all right? And I think we all live in glass houses to an extent, so I guess always be aware of that. And then in verse 8 it says, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they and when they heard, being convicted by their own consciences, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest and even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. So all the men had gone. See what guilt does? Because they've fully all done it. And because Jesus pointed out, yeah, guys, if you've not committed sin ever, that's okay, but if you have, you need to go. And they did. It says that they dropped their rocks because they were going to throw these at this woman. Now, verse 10, when Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman. The woman back then was a term of endearment. He didn't say to her, you filthy, filthy, filthy woman. He didn't say any of that to her. He said, woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned you? And she said, no, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn you, so go and sin no more. See, Jesus didn't bollock, I've used that word. Jesus didn't chastise the woman. He forgave her and he said, go and sin no more. Now, one of the things that I see here, if I can see it in my scratchy notes here somewhere, is that what Jesus was doing, he was saying that men and women have to be responsible, have to be held responsible for sexual sin. Don't just blame the woman and you think you can get off scot-free. Jesus is saying to all of us, to the woman and to the man and to the men, you all need to be responsible for your sexual sin. You all need to be responsible for the way that you handle yourselves in sexual arenas. You need to be the husband of one wife or the wife of one husband and stuff like that. So we see here in three instances how Jesus turned things over by stating what the kingdom was, not what the law was or the traditions of men, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to encourage you gentlemen that have a look. Maybe do your own search about other situations where Jesus was working with women and helping women to recognize, so that women could recognize that they are valuable and that they are valued and that they are part of God's kingdom. And ladies, remember that you could do a bit of a search too to find out who God says that you are, because you're wonderful. You're valued. You're beautiful. You're all of these things. And you are the apple of God's eye. So I just speak blessing over you that you would have heard something today and that you would go back to the word and find out who God says that you are and stop telling everybody who you were. Amen.
Thank you, Jay. That's really cool. What a great, it's great in this momentum to actually open the Bible and talk about things that are in the Bible. Yeah. And that's really, really cool to do. So guys, don't forget our website, momentumaustralia.org. And don't forget our care line, 1-800-000-MEN, 1-800-000-636 for a safe and confidential conversation. And so guys, it's been great having Jerry. Jerry, thank you for your time. And we will see you or talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. For more information or to hear this week's show again, go to MomentumAustralia.org. You can also access a whole range of resources to help you on your journey and to get in touch with the team at MomentumAustralia.org.